What is kingship all about? Okay, so even if they are earthly kings, remember, there are terrible weaknesses along the way, which we must not dismiss easily or lightly. Right? So this is absolutely important for us to understand. Okay, here we go. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to understand, to fathom your word. And we pray that you will encourage our hearts to become more discerning, becoming wiser in the way we understand things. We pray for your blessings as we read your word this afternoon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Next week we look at 1 Samuel chapter 10. Well, I think that is important for us to take a look at what it is. Okay, remember the background. The people wanted a king. Okay, did God provide for one day? Yes. Deuteronomy 17. God will one day give them a king. But the people, Israel, they demanded a king. Behind this demand, the Lord said they have rejected him as king. And they have been doing this rejection since the days of Moses to the time of Samuel. This is the state of Israel spiritually. Right? So now they were asking for... This would have been fulfilled if they had learned to understand God and his ways. But they did not. Right? So the issue now was, what kind of king? Obviously, the choices made are not going to be very good. Now, out of all the bad choices, can God give them at least something a little bit better than the worst? Right? So the question is, bad, worse, worst. God didn't give them the worst. Right? Well, the question is, what is good and what is bad? What is, unfortunately, no human king will ever do what God wants a person to do perfectly. We just make things worse when we think we don't. Okay, so if we read 1 Samuel 9 and 10, we seem to be quite impressed. We actually can go away quite impressed with what we read about Saul, actually. Right? But let's take a look at chapter 9 first. Right? So let's take a look at chapter 9 and we'll see. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeno, the son of Bekorah, the son of Bephia, a Benjamite. Now, why have all these names there? It's to tell you that this family is quite a good, proper, traditional family. A good traditional family would be able to tell 1, 2, 3, 4, at least few generations. Right? Some people don't even know who their grandfather is. Now, that becomes a bit of a problem. But this one can trace son of. This will tell you, this is a very good traditional family. In other words, good background. Now that's the idea here, okay? So give us that idea so we have a good background, right? Good traditional background. You see, when you look at, you need to look at this very carefully. You usually plan it such a way. You check, what's the background like? And if possible, you want to check one. Okay, number two. Okay, a mighty man of power. So that's pretty good. Okay, so you have got good background. One. Two, personally, a person of some substance, a man of power. Okay, that's pretty good. I mean, we all understand that. Okay, so we take a look very, very carefully. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among all the children of Israel. And he was tall, handsome, dark, we don't know, but at least he had 2 out of 3. That's pretty good. Right? I mean, you see, the whole old ideas in the past is still there. Not only the present, tall, dark, and handsome. Look at him. Okay? So there we go. So he is described as handsome. To me, the person got eyes, got nose, got ears, got mouth, got teeth, handsome. I mean, this is important, right? I went to my dentist recently, and he had this big poster. He said, "Smile when you still have got teeth." And there was an old man smiling with his camel. And this camel, all the teeth were meeting. So it was very, very happy picture. That was quite a funny picture. Smile when you still have teeth. Because as we grow older, there is no guarantee that the teeth would be there. So I think there we go. So that is handsome. And then he was tall. Now, I don't know why people think that you must be tall in order to be important. See, you seldom see people who are short, and most of the CEOs are not short. They all are certain height, certain. Seldom you see a very short person. You very, very seldom. You know, whatever, you know, the banker, you know, straight away will be affected. You know, somewhere, somehow, in a mind, somewhere, we think this person ought to be. So physically, traditionally, power, hey, this person looks, on the outside, looks very good. Right? So that's how the Lord provided. Now, so we look at these things here. Choice young man, handsome, taller than most. I thought that pretty good so far. Right? So we check it out. Now he's also very obedient. And Kish said to his son, "Please take one of the servants with you. Arise, go, look for the donkeys." Now, I think, I'm not so sure how many donkeys were missing. There were certainly extra 2. How would you look for a donkey? Donkeys don't take bus. Do you take which bus you go with? They don't take trains. Donkey go north, south, east, and west. Where would you look? So I say, add an extra donkey, 2 donkeys. See, where would you begin to look? Now that is pretty telling, actually, unfortunately. Right, to me, that is an impossible task. Right? So this is something you have to look at. Why would you do it? So he's hardworking. Look at it. He went to 9 tribes, Ephraim, Shalisha, Sha'alim, land of Benjamin. I mean, he is quite thorough. Okay, we then divide into 4 quadrants. Okay, shall we do it? Okay, done. Done, done, done. How do you know the donkey won't come back to here? Where would you begin, Saul? What? He will say he's tall, he's handsome, but he's not very bright. Where would you begin to look for lost donkeys? Right? The old Indian story is told of a man who went out to buy some donkeys. Then he came back and he bought five. So as he got back to his wife, he said, "You know, I keep on seeing only four. See, 1, 2, 3, 4. What happened to the fifth donkey I bought? I cannot remember where I lost the donkey." So the wife said, "Actually, there are six." "There are six. What happened?" He was sitting on the donkey and he had forgotten to count the donkey that he was sitting on. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the wife said, "Six." So this donkey story is a bit puzzling to me. That is my first suspicion. What happened to this chap? He's obedient, right? Which is good. He's tall, can't help himself. He's handsome, good. But where would you go and look for two donkeys? Did you see my donkey? How is one donkey distinguished from another? If that donkey had gone into a herd of donkeys, can you tell yours from the next one? How would you know? House of Kish, put a K there. What? What would you do with it? I mean, this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. How do we understand this? Right? So they passed, they did not find them. So they passed through the mountains of Ephraim, land of Shalisha, land of Sha'alim, land of Benjamite, did not find them. I mean, to me, that is really of questionable value. Donkey, here boys, come on, donkey, hee-haw, hee-haw. How would you look for the donkeys? Well, that was stories included. It leaves really, really much in doubt. So when they come to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease worrying about the donkeys and become worried about us." At last it dawned. I think we better go back. How many days did he take look for the donkeys? Only to his horror. Donkeys, I think we better go back. Maybe my father is looking for us. Because two donkeys or three donkeys went up plus two more. I mean, you don't want to lose all. So he went out. So then he said to him, "Look, in this city, there is a man of God, and he is an honorable man. And surely what he says come to pass. Let's go there." Now, I don't know what they say. Men don't ask for help. I don't know whether that's true. To ask, you know, men don't ask for road directions. What about donkey directions? Where would you begin? After 1, 2, 3, 4, suddenly the servant said to him, "I think we should ask for help." Shouldn't that be right at the top? So he went all over the place, Sha'alim, Shalisha, went over the land of Benjamin, went to Ephraim. They're all side by side, but remember, please do not think they are just only 100 meters. Okay, we are now Benjamin. 100 meters, now we are Ephraim. These are mountain areas. They must have searched all over the place. Where could the donkeys be? And then suddenly, over here, look, that in this city, there's a man of God. He is an honorable man. What he says will surely come to us. Let's go and ask the way we should go. Ask for directions. Of course, that's in God's timing. Right? In God's timing, in God's arrangement, God allowed them to come to this place when they, with Saul, would come up with a man called Samuel. Now, watch this very carefully, okay? Saul said, to his servant, "But look, if we go, what shall we bring the men? The bread in our vessels is all gone. No present to bring to the men of God. What do we have?" See, he really searched for the donkeys until no more food. Searched for donkeys until no more money. And then finally it dawned on them, "We need help." So the servant answered Saul and said, "Look, I have here 1/4 of a shekel of silver." That's a very small sum of money. "I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way." Okay? And this is how it was. They'll go to the seer. So this, obviously Saul was not a very, very spiritual man. Another sign. Right? He doesn't have a lot of upstairs. Mostly ground floor. For obvious reasons. Now he has heard of a man called a seer, prophet of God. What shall we do? We got nothing to give him. You honestly think that a seer lives on what you give him? Half a shekel. That's it. Right? It's in today, the shekel is still being used. One shekel is equivalent to slightly less than the US dollar. That's it. So we give him half. 50 cents. I mean, you ask yourself, it's just like carrying 50 cents. What can you buy with 50 cents? You can't even buy a drink. I once tell myself, I go to Nick's and I put 50 cents in my pocket and see what I can do with my 50 cents. There isn't a shop that sells anything for 50 cents. You will die of thirst and you still won't buy a drink for 50 cents. You put in your coin machine, it's $1.20, 90 cents. You don't have a 50, it's half a shekel. I mean, what makes you think the seer who is so hard up and I give him half a shekel of silver and he will help us? See, they got harebrained ideas. As I said, not a whole lot of upstairs. Not a whole lot of spirituality too. What shall we give him? Well, this is really, really unfortunate. So said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." Now, usually the master will lead the servant in the home. I hope you are telling your house help what to do and not your house help telling you what to do. Unfortunately, okay, you know, you should eat now. You know, you should have this now. I hope not. You know, I iron the shirt for you. You should wear this shirt to you. Excuse me. Why would the servant tell the master what to do? Now, that's not great. Well, we're seeing this not great signs. Right? These are little things that we look at. So they went to the hill, to the city, and they met some young women and to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered and said, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now. Today he came to this city because sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. After that, those who are invited will eat. Now you go. Go about this time, you will find him." Wow. What are the chances of a famous celebrity seer like Samuel? The people will not eat until he comes to bless the sacrifice. What are the chances of you going to have a conversation with a man like Samuel? As much chances as looking for the donkeys. Right? It's just like there's a celebrity coming in the town and you are one of thousands of people out there What are the chances of you going to have a dinner with the pop star? I mean, what chances? Now, I've seen in Japan when people, when they greet the stars, they're very organized. They're not shouting here and there. All the policemen will come and make them all stand down there. So you can go out for dinner, come back 2 hours later, and the people are still standing there, waiting for the person to come. It's already 9, 10 o'clock. Still waiting, politely. What are the chances of you coming as a stranger? And we're going to ask the seer. Just like that, huh? Right? So let us say Kim Jong-un is coming to Singapore, let us say, and they're going to have those peace talks, and they're going to unite. And chances are, the place, without too much of a doubt, most likely it will be at Shangri-La. No other security there. What are the chances of you? I'm going to say hello to him. I'm going to shake his hand and take a selfie or wifi. What are the chances like? And half a shekel. I give you. Why would a celebrity like Samuel, big name Samuel, would even think about it? So I said, you know, he's maybe tall, right? Tallest head above everybody else. He might be handsome, a son of a mighty man, of power, right? Maybe brawn, not so much brain. This one is really more brawn than anything else. So obvious signs, look for donkeys all over the place. What are the chances of you finding them? You just tell me. Brawn will say, let's do it. Brain will ask you, why? Where would you start? North, south, east, or west? Which one? And they went. A lot more brawn than brain. Finally, the servant says, I think we better ask for help. After 1, 2, 3, 4. Then he asks, how to go and see him? We got no money. Oh, we just have half a shekel. And the servant is who has the money. I had not a great picture so far of Saul as far as we can see. Right? And they're going to make him king. Well, Samuel has to write all these things so that if ever anybody read about what he has written, they will understand why God is quite reluctant to bring anybody into the picture. But even then, God will help out. Let's take a look at this. So now they ask for advice from some women, and they were there. And now this is, okay? Now, if the Lord doesn't come in, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, the day before Saul came. Now, this is how close the Lord is to Samuel. Somebody so close, he can whisper in his ear, Samuel. Same like when he was young, Samuel, Samuel. Even when he's old, maybe even more so, because as he grows older, hard of hearing, Samuel. I will tell you ahead of time, okay? You see, you see the difference between God's planning and man's planning. Right? It's pretty haphazard. If you just look at, okay, let us take a look at Israel. We need a king. Okay, the people say, we need a king. We would like to have a king. Where would you start the selection process? 12 tribes. Where would you begin? They have no idea. Saul, they don't know Saul. Samuel, they know. Okay, you make us a king. Just like that. You know, they haven't even thought through it. They haven't even figured half the things out. Just make us a king. Okay, this is the kind of king you could end up with. He's going to take. Never mind, we will still take him. Why? Right? So this was the situation. Now, out of that mess, God had his own greater set of plans. God said to Samuel, okay, in his ear, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Okay, now this is important for us. I will send you from the land of Benjamin. Wow, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. You see the situation over here? Right? Now, you've got to see the Lord's hand all organized. Sam, I am going to ask you to come here. And I'm going to bring you the man. Whereas the other chap is going all over the place to be where he ought to be. I come right back. I think my father is worried about you. You know, you see the contrasting picture. You don't know whether to laugh or to cry at the situation over here. So this is a kind of funny situation. Okay? He's going to be all these things here. So God, you know. Okay? So here come along. So Samuel saw Saul. The Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Of course, Saul didn't know, so he came near to Samuel, and there he is. Where's the CS house? Is Samuel so common that you cannot tell him apart from anybody else? I mean, really? The lady said, is he is before you? Right? If you walk up straight, you see him. What do you think Samuel could have been doing? Flinging his stick, walking around. Where's the seer's house? Is he so different that they couldn't tell him apart? What do you think a holy man is like, looks like? You can just almost imagine what Samuel could have been like. Right? Would he be a young person? I mean, this is very important. Once there was a story was told about a man. They were in a backwoods, and they were looking at a guest speaker, and he was coming in the train. And he's going to meet him in his cart and bring him to church. So, but nobody has seen him. So one man volunteered. No, I will find him. I will find him. Don't worry. It's coming to 11 o'clock service. There's a train coming at 10 o'clock. I'll be there at 10 o'clock. How would he know? Straight away. First one. If they're all children, cannot be. Anybody looking very young cannot be. Okay, one. Two, our women folk cannot be. So now eliminates already quite a bit. Right? And so he finally found him. The man came to him. He says, are you the speaker for our church? He said, yes. But how did you know? You never seen me before. He says, well, I was looking for a person who is very solemn, no joy, grumpy, very stern looking. That's you. And pretty unfortunate. But you ask yourself, Samuel has been in existence for a long time. He's an old man already. Wherever Samuel walked, everybody is watching him. They're not going to be pals with him. They give him the highest regard and respect. He come up to him, where's Samuel? As I said, he does not the upstairs department. He is not great. Okay? If you want to do arm wrestling, don't take him on. Okay? If you want a beauty handsome contest, probably not. You want to see who's the tallest man? No question about it. Right? No question about this guy is the head of the... Now, servant leading the way, search all over the land, many parts of the land, come over here. Where is the seer's house? Now, watch what the lady said. Okay, here's your... There is sacrifice within all. As soon as you enter into the city, verse 13, as soon as you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not eat until he has done. Okay, about this time, you will find him. Where would you go? Now, this man has come to visit. Where's his house? What's his address? What address? You think he's got a house in every city? I mean, to me, all these things, he's just not thinking very much. Right? The person who is going to be the leader, who is going to lead in the worship there, and everybody is greatly respectful of the great seer Samuel, who has not heard about his name. Even when he was a child, people knew that the word of God was with him. And he goes right up to Saul, to Samuel, and said to him, please tell me, where's the seer's house? To me, that sounds very strange conversation. It's really, really, very, very strange to see this, right? So Samuel very graciously answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Oh, you are the seer. So there we go. For you shall eat with me today. Tomorrow, okay, as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't be anxious, they've been found. You know, it's a funny thing about donkeys and horses and all that. You know, most of them return home. You know, I had a friend who used to have a cow in India. So he made a cow walk every day for a week. And now cows in India are sacred. Right? You can't stop the cow from eating. So he's decided, I don't even have to feed the cow. I will still have milk. So he taught the cow to go this way. And every day the cow would be out. And in the evening, the cow would come back. Without fail. For months. And every night, every morning, milk the cow and sells milk too. Pretty amazing. So he was quite happy with the arrangement. Because cow not injured. No injury. Because nobody that's the way the cow. So it was... It was very, very happy going. But this cow is a lot. So the neighbors got very upset. How come the owner doesn't feed the own cow, always let the cow go out? And so they wanted to teach the owner a lesson. Remember, they cannot hurt the cow. So they gave the cow nangka. You know, the jackfruit. So the cow had a lot of nangka for one of the meals. Now, when the cow came back the next day, the milk, the cow and the nangka affected the quality of the milk. Wow. And they couldn't sell milk for the next few days. And they were very upset because, you know, doing that, otherwise it would be worse. And then so they taught the cow onto the other opposite direction. So went to the other side. Now, he didn't calculate carefully. Okay? Because this side here, all Hindus. They won't touch the cow. This side here, not Hindus. So for a while, they came back. And then one evening, waited and waited and waited. The cow never came back. What happened? You see, in that part of the place here, there were a few non-Hindus. And the cow never came home, ever. And they have no qualms about having beef. They had no qualms. And the cow disappeared, never came back. You see, I mean, so sometimes you really wonder what's happening over here. But you've got to use a little bit of the upstairs a little. Right? So he went out, searched for a few days, don't find. Finally, want to find. Hopefully, I give half a shekel. Maybe that will help. Something is really insulting. Right? When you go to a Chinese sensei and you say, the person says, never mind, anything you want to give. Oh, good, I want to give 10 cents. If you give your 10 or 20 cents, you might be injured further. You cannot be so dense as to mean anything means 10 cents or 20 cents. You cannot be so dense as that, can you? Right? But you say anything, what? So anything, yeah. I mean, this is something that we want to appreciate. I mean, surely we cannot be that dense. So he went down there. Now, denseness is obvious. Where's the seer? Where's the seer's house? He doesn't know where seer. Obviously, spiritually, he does not know. I mean, you think that they would not give him, you sure see him. Can't miss. Without giving any further description. Look, they describe Saul, tall, taller than most people by a head. Right? This person has got all the background. Son of Kish, son of Abiel, and so on and so forth. So many descriptive details. And you didn't ask, how shall I recognize George Thomas? How shall I recognize him? Sure not to miss him. How? Would I ask, tell me, tall or short? Fair or dark? Big or small? Some basic things. You just hear, okay, you can't miss him. Yeah, I'll just go. What kind, when people give you directions, don't you want to, any landmarks, any features, any characteristics, can't miss him. And he just simply say, okay, let's go. Right? So you say, you want to go Serangoon Road. Serangoon, Sankocho, Sikocho, Gokocho, Lakocho, Chikocho. Serangoon Road is a long road all the way up to forever. Just along Serangoon Road. And you're not going to ask some more questions. What? You don't just simply, people ask you to go. Same thing. Go and look for donkeys. Okay. Hey, Dad, where could the donkeys have gone? Just look for donkeys. Just like that. So the ladies came along. You can't miss him. Can't miss him. Sure, they miss. You don't stop to ask questions. You don't ask anything. Just simply, let's go. You're kidding, right? Well, this is something that you need to look at. So, and then Saul came to ask him. He says, "Are you on whom? Okay, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is not on you, and on all your father's house." Wow. Now Saul is now properly shocked, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? My family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why do you speak to me like this to me? Wow. Right? So when you take a look at these things here, and then this is appropriate. He seems to be good, but wait a minute. So Samuel took Saul and his servant, brought them into the hall, had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited, and there were 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, or which I said, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh, which is the upper part, and set it before Saul. Here it is, what was kept back, set apart for you, eat a thigh. Whoa. This fellow has got a big appetite. No wonder he's so tall. Right? I mean, this is a huge portion given to him. And so Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early. And then Saul said, get up, that I may send you on your way. And then they were going down out of him. So he says, tell your servant to go ahead of us. You stand here while I announce to you the word of God. Now, so far, there has been no spark of spirituality seen about Saul at all. Right? Physically well described. Tall, handsome, in the sun, maybe a little dark. So he fulfills three, tall, dark, and handsome. Now, what's the problem? You cannot lead the kingdom just like that with all these qualities, can you? What? Because you are taller, you can see clearer the enemy. So all the rest, what do you see? What is that? How would that help in any way? Right? So, right now, we have not a great description of Saul, and yet he's probably better than most. Right? Some good qualities. He's humble, he's obedient, he's hardworking. But then almost anybody can fulfill these things. What does it take to be a king? Now, that is a good question. What does it take to be a king? Right? So far, he shows no indication. He knows the Lord. He knows the scriptures. He asks intelligent questions. They had a fine intellectual, spiritual conversation with each other. All they had was a big piece of thigh, and this is not chicken thigh, okay? And it is huge. Now, if this is an offering that is set aside, if this is a leg of lamb, this is huge. I don't know whether you see, I years ago in another church, I organized a special dinner, and I had a lamb on the spit. It was the smallest lamb. So the person says, I cut off a piece of thigh for you. It would need a few people to finish that. It's chicken drumstick you can finish. Two, three even. This one, there is no ghost of a chance unless you really have a huge appetite, like a sumo or like a Saul. You could... Otherwise, you cannot finish this thing. It's just, a thigh is, you know, Chinese people, this thigh reserved for you. Or grandmas reserve a thigh for the favorite grandson. We all understand that. But this is going to be huge. So far, we don't see any spiritual or intellectual inclinations at all with Saul. What does it take to be a king? They will look for a Saul. they will look up to him as a great person. Why? Tradition, family, father, good name, you are tall, you are handsome, you look good, and therefore you are good. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. And so in this chapter alone will tell us that Saul was really God already told the people, warned them, chapter 8, he will take. On the outside, he does not seem to be taking very much. Was God wrong? Could he have been wrong when he said he will take? He's not taking anything, is he? Well, not right now. Not right now, but he is going to do that later. So as we take a look at these things here, you begin to realize that no human being is just going to find it easy to fulfill those duties. And it is never physical. It's never brawn at any time. It never is. It never will be. Right? It is not just being hardworking. This is very important. When people are very, very hardworking and they are not thinking through, it's a work that is impossible to do. So you really want to be careful of some of those things here. Right? So this, well, God is going to give them something. You know, remember, out of the people don't know what they're looking for, and out of all these things, the potential that is good, okay? A king must be humble. Okay, Saul was humble. A king must come from a good family. Okay, come from a fairly good family. The king must at least be obedient, right? Okay. The person is very diligent. Okay. He gets along well with his servants. Okay. Right? He knows how to behave himself when he is invited to a great dinner with none other than Samuel the seer. Okay. You think that this person will stand out already? Not necessarily, unfortunately. Right? So this is important. Why would God warn them? Because most people can't see beyond the outside. Most people can't see beyond the external. Only God can. And God is going to show them how the external can end up being very, very deceptive. And it's going to happen, unfortunately. And so this is something that they need to look at. And if they're not careful, they're going to be affected and badly. But it's going to happen, unfortunately. Okay? So these are things that we need to take a look at as we look at the kings. And God was going to be the king. Right? Now watch this very carefully. The people are going to be very impressed with Saul very shortly. That what God had already warned may not look to be the case, but it is going to become the case in a short while time. Well, unfortunately, this is the situation. All right, well, we want to be careful. Okay, we always say, be careful what you wish for. You might get it. This is an American saying. Be careful what you wish for. You might well end up getting it. They wanted a king. Okay, so you're going to get a king. Right? Come from a good family. Doesn't mean he's good. He could be tall. He could be handsome. It does not mean he's good. He may be obedient. He may be diligent. It doesn't mean he's good. Right? He's polite. He's everything else. It does not mean that he is that man for the job of king. Well, that would be the lesson that Israel is going to have to learn the hard way. It's going to be very, very challenging, to say the least. Okay? Well, think about these things here. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to read your word and to understand it. Help us to recognize that there are many things that we need to think about very carefully. Sometimes we are fooled by what we see externally, and we don't really know how to see beyond the physical and the external. And we pray that you will teach us how we can do this effectively. Lord, help us to learn lessons of faith and of trust, and to desire that always you will be our King and our Lord. I pray that you will help us to walk in faith, to grow in our understanding, and to live a life that is meaningful and fruitful. We ask you to bless, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's give a love gift for the Lord's word. Right.